At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
And welcome to Those Working Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Christine.
And today we're doing our third annual Fangirl Razzie Awards. So these are the movies that we watched this year that, you know, maybe we didn't really love.
Our worst movies of 2024 episode.
So we have some disturbing movies, some meh movies, and then, you know, both of our top five most hated
movies. And we've got enjoyable bad. That's our most positive award today.
If you're looking for positive, though, we do have the Fangirl Academy Awards where we talked about all of our favorites. So that was the episode before this one.
Okay, you know, I completely didn't have this on my list and forgot this movie existed. But for our best movies, I forgot to mention Turtles All the Way Down. They did a really good job with that adaptation. And I didn't have it on my list and I completely forgot that it existed. But
I forgot that it even came out.
I know.
I never watched it.
Popping a mention now before we roll on into Snap Crackle Pop Culture News. We just missed talking about the Grammys last week. I think this episode, this year of the Grammys, was one of the most entertaining we've had in a long time in terms of the performances. Like, every performance was fantastic and just so exciting to watch. And there were all these pop girlies from every generation finally getting, not finally, some of them have gotten their flowers, but like re-emerging with the new stuff that was so much fun to watch. Shakira doing an amazing performance at the Grammys.
Oh, yeah.
Was so fun. And then Beyonce winning.
Finally. I mean, she's won, wasn't she won the most Grammys?
She's won a ton of Grammys, but she's never won Album of the Year. Mm-hmm. And Gaga won, and Gaga premiered her new music video for Abracadabra, randomly dropped in a commercial break, the whole music video. It was fantastic. I was freaking out. I was like texting Natasha in all caps the whole time.
Like, is this new?
I was like, is this real? Is this the whole music video? Oh my God. It's so early Gaga. It's so peak Gaga. It's Bad Romance. It's Born This Way. It has amazing choreo, an amazing beat, an amazing hook. Abracadabra, abracadabra has been stuck in my head
my life this week.
Yes,
for sure.
And during writing breaks, I was learning like the bridge choreography where she's like, abracadabra, abracadabra, feel the beat and
So we requested it at beauty school because like the front part of the school, there's the salon portion. And so we always have music playing and they played it three times.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, I was blasting it in my car the other day. I'm just so, so excited that she's back to artsy, fartsy, fucking witchy ass Gaga. The visuals were just amazing. That outfit where she's in the red and she has the cane and that choreography section, you know what I'm talking about, where she's doing with the cane.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, like, I want to learn that. I need a cane so I can learn that dance break.
I have to say, the female artist who won, I think, Best Rap Album, Doechii.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God, have you listened to her music?
I listened to that song. It's
She's
so good.
So funny and good. And like,
What's the album called? Like Alligator. something. It has a really cool name too. And Chappell's performance was unforgettable at the Grammys. Mm-hmm. I was tearing up. She did Pink Pony Club, and then it went viral again because everyone in the stadium is singing, not stadium, in the venue is singing along to, mm-hmm. Oh, look what you've done, your Pink Pony Girl. Alligator bites don't heal, Katie says. Yeah, I think that's it. And I'm so glad Chappell got a Grammy. Sabrina got her Grammys. It was such a great night for pop girlies, rap girlies, and girlies in general.
Yeah, girlies in general. This was their night.
And Kendrick Lamar. And Taylor Swift dancing. It's so funny. I feel like people are just starting to pay attention to Taylor Swift dancing at award shows. Like, she's been doing this since the beginning. Yeah. I know. And everyone's like, oh, look at Taylor Swift dancing and having a great time, even though she's lost. And I'm like, she always has a great time.
Yeah. I'm like, I think this is, I mean, obviously I always want Taylor to win, but this year I really wanted everyone else but Taylor to win because she has had her chance and I wanted like, there were so many,
in the sun.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many girls that deserved to like have their time up there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was a part of me that like that was still rooting for her because I love her so much, yeah, but of course I was happy to see, I was so happy when Beyonce won. Mm-hmm. I start tearing up because, yeah, every year she's nominated there and never wins that award. I loved, though, the moment, like, Taylor presented the Country Album Award, mm-hmm. and Beyonce won, and she was so surprised, and she got to go up there, and the throwback pictures of mm-hmm. her presenting the award to Taylor at the MTV Video Music Awards so long ago, comped to the pictures of Taylor presenting her with this Grammy were just so beautiful. I loved it. Anything from the Grammys other than all those moments that stuck out to you?
I really like Sabrina's
performance.
I thought it was a little like too much. Like I feel like she let like the set design and all of and her dancing shine, but like not her vocals. And I wish I would have heard more of like her vocals shine and her not like.
Yeah, maybe if she did a section where it was just her singing, but mm-hmm. then like the, because I really liked the theatrics as well. I thought it was really cute. Mm-hmm. But yeah, maybe if she had added a segment where it was just her and her microphone.
Yeah.
I loved like the stuff coming down the stairs. It felt like she was supposed to open it originally, but then the fires happened and they did like really nice tributes to mm-hmm. the firefighters.
Janelle Monáe.
Yeah, Janelle Monáe's performance was so good. Mm-hmm. And she threw her blazer and Taylor picked it up and put it on and wore it for the rest of the Grammys. I loved all of those clips so much. She was so good. I loved watching her dance.
Billie Eilish didn't win anything. And I feel like a lot of people were very upset about that.
Billie Eilish's new album wasn't, I don't know, wasn't anything special to me.
Yeah,
like the personally, the first one was amazing, no skips, and the second one I listened to all the time.
Yeah, I just, oh my god, there were so many people who were like, Beyonce won and Billie Eilish didn't, like look at the streams, and I'm like, well,
I think that's in such poor taste.
Yeah. Also, like Beyonce's album was kind of cutting edge. Mm-hmm. Like she brought so many old country artists together for an album and like shine light on them while also kind of, you know, breaking the molds of black artists and country mm-hmm. music. So
yeah, no, I think her album was spectacular. I went back and listened to it again after she won.
Me too.
I saw pictures of Billie crying, but I don't know if that was like taken out of context.
Yeah.
Sabrina Carpenter's extended version of her album Short and Sweet is coming out on Valentine's Day.
Oh
yeah. So she's got some new tracks coming, which is exciting. What else? Do you have anything on the news today?
Oh, I just saw that Simone Ashley is in a rom-com on Amazon Prime.
Wait, right now?
It's coming out. It's called okay. Picture This. And Simone Ashley plays Kate Sharma in Bridgerton. And
oh, I thought you were saying she's playing it in this rom-com. She's playing Kate Sharma. I was like, wait, it's Bridgerton?
No, it's coming out on March 6th. And
oh, okay.
Also, the guy who played Voldemort.
Ralph Fiennes?
No.
Oh, young Voldemort?
Young Voldemort. And who was in the After movies is also in it.
Tom Riddle.
Tom Riddle. But I'm excited for that. Hopefully it's good.
Yeah, hopefully it's good. I mean, Simone Ashley's great, so. Did you see Jurassic World trailer dropped with Jonathan Bailey and yes. Scarlett Johansson?
Have you watched all of the Jurassic World movies?
Yes, I have.
The most recent one?
Yeah, I did. I watched it. Remember? It was during like when I was writing and I was just having a ball because it was so stupid.
It was stupid. I'm excited for this because of Jonathan Bailey and also ScarJo.
I'm hoping they kind of relaunch again, though, and maybe it'll have a different vibe.
Yeah, because the first Jurassic World was really fun.
It was fun. It was definitely not like Jurassic Park 1, 2, 3, but it was fun. And then it got redonkulous. Like the second one was like the Haunted Mansion with reptiles. I mean, with dinosaurs. Like it was so uncomfortably bad. I actually like the third one better than the second one because the second one was kind of trying to be serious feeling. Yeah. And there were raptors in the house like they were a ghost.
it wasn't ridiculous. The raptors were like protecting them from the bigger dinosaur.
It was so weird. The third one was just like bonkers, but it was all outside. And at least it wasn't a haunted house with dinosaurs.
But yeah, they're going to a different island where they put all of their most dangerous dinosaurs. Yeah.
And they're going there on purpose to get DNA. So
yeah, I'm in. I'm on board with that.
Me too. It's giving like second Jurassic Park vibes, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, but I didn't like that one that much. I hope, but
love
this
that
one's
one
in the daylight. Part of why I don't like it is that one's all in the dark, so you can't see anything.
Johnny doesn't have his British accent. It's his American one,
but he has his glasses, and they look good.
I'm excited. He's playing like a little scientist.
A little scientist.
He's a scientist, man, Natasha.
Oh my god. All right, did you watch the trailer for Thunderbolts that also dropped?
Yeah, I did. I watched it on the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay, there's one scene in the Thunderbolts trailer where like, okay, hold on.
Okay, I'm holding. I've got the phone in
Sebastian Stan, I love him, right? Okay. The Falcon Winter Soldier.
Wait, can I just mention before I forget, I love how he takes his arm out of the dishwasher in the trailer and puts it on. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't catch that.
It's so funny.
I love that he has his long hair back. I think he looks the most hot with the long hair, and he's most like the Winter Soldier, but there's a really awesome scene. It's like right when Yelena's like, none of us fly. And I can't do her accent right now.
None of us fly.
It's like it's the Russian.
It's the Russian accent. It's like this, almost.
Oh yes.
This is more
like
Ukrainian.
That.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he does like a really hot move where he like stops the car with his arm.
I saw that. You stopped the car.
You were being pushed away with your hand. You stopped the van.
I love when he does the speech and she's like, that was very good. I am inspired.
I'm excited for this movie. I love all of them. I'm excited.
Gabby says long hair supremacy.
Yes. I'm excited for, what's his face? The dad.
Yeah. Hopper from Stranger Things. I love him.
He's so funny.
He really is. And he's got the Russian accent as well in this movie. Mm-hmm. I love the family of Russians that we see in Black Widow.
Oh, yes. Me too. I would rewatch it again too. Like it was, you can enjoy it now that you're not so like emotionally invested.
The end is so
ridiculous, but like,
yeah, just cut it off before that.
The fun character moments prior to that are great.
They are. I remember loving them, and then it was just so spoiled by the stupid end falling. Yeah. So there was a lot of good trailers. Okay, we forgot to talk about this last week, but the Children of Blood and Bone cast dropped. So Children of Blood and Bone, it was a huge young adult series that came out. I feel like the first one came out around like 2017-ish. Mm-hmm. And I never actually read these books, but they were huge.
I know, me neither.
And they're becoming a movie based on the 2018. Okay. Okay, I was close. Best-selling novel of the same name by Tommy Adeyemi. The fantasy film follows Zelli as she rises up against King Sauron to resist the oppression he has imposed on their mythical African kingdom, Orisha, and to restore magic to its people. The film will be directed by Gina Prince-Blythewood for Paramount Pictures and will star Amanda Stenberg, Viola Davis, Cynthia Erivo, Idris Elba. Oh, those are the big names. The other ones I don't recognize. Yeah.
This book had an interesting way of now coming about because Disney had the rights to this for a long time. I think like even before Disney Plus launched in 2019, because they announced Children of Blood and Bone as a movie or a TV series coming out on their streaming service. And then I think they scrapped it, obviously, and then Paramount picked it up.
The director, she previously helmed 2020's The Old Guard and 2022's The Woman King. Oh, that had Viola Davis in it, right?
Yeah, and The Old Guard was with Charlize Theron.
Okay, nice. I have not seen those, but those are big films. Mm-hmm. That's really exciting. And it is slated to be released in IMAX on January 15th, 2027. That's future.
A January date? That sucks.
It's like an Oscar time date. Okay, did you see that they just announced yesterday The White Lotus Season 3 premieres February 16th, which is in 6 days from the time we're recording this.
Oh,
that's very exciting. It's very so soon. Close. Yeah, it's gonna be on Sunday.
Another week-to-week show.
It's a week-to-week show. Very exciting to have the White Lotus back in our lives and see what weird shit they've got in store for us next. And in other news, oh, there is a new book that came out last year that I'm hearing people talking about called Attached at the Hip by Christine Riccio. If you don't know, I'm an author. And I write books, and I just handed in my fourth novel. This is the second draft. But the third one, Attached at the Hip, out now. It is a game show-esque rom-com. It is a survival game show. So our lead is out on an island, abandoned, and she finds herself attached to a guy that she had a crush on in high school and hasn't spoken to in 4 years. And in high school, they had their lockers next to each other and she had a huge crush on him. And now they have to survive together on a beach. And then every 3 days they're taken to a challenge and there's four other pairs of people that they compete against. And then someone gets voted out and then they swap up the pairs and then they do it again. And they have to survive by hunting and fishing and doing all that stuff. And they're not showering, but they're like romancy. So it's a whole thing to navigate. Katie says you may have seen it featured on SNL. Yeah, it was very crazy. There was a sketch on SNL where they were in a classroom and there was a huge bookshelf next to everybody and it had all these YA novels on it. And my books were all there on the shelf.
All three of them.
It was wild. And two people had DM'd me being like, I just saw your book on SNL. And I was like, oh my God, what do you mean? Call the shots. Why are you lying? They did shower in the ocean. Yes, they had a different kind of shower and a different kind of bathroom. The ocean and
that
the dirt.
Doesn't sound right. It sounds like they like had a golden shower for each of them, and that's not right.
No, the ocean's not a golden shower. It's nature's shower.
You said they had a different kind of shower and a different kind of bathroom.
Yeah,
and
but that I was talking about the ocean, right. Not a golden
shots. Oh. All caps, Natasha.
You're making this dirtier than it is. They're just actually physically dirty.
Sorry.
There are no golden showers attached to the hip.
I'm sorry. I just watched that episode of Hacks where...
Oh, yeah. She's a Republican. Christina.
Christina Hendricks.
Hendricks, yeah.
And she wanted to give the girl a golden shower. Yeah. So that's just in my head. I'm sorry.
So Katie's just clarifying that different equals salt water shower. Anyway, I have that and also Agemba Better and Better Together, which Agemba Better and Better Together are on Kindle Unlimited. So you can read them for free if you have Kindle Unlimited. If you enjoyed any of my books, I would really, really appreciate you taking a second to review them on whatever platform you devoured them on. So Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Audible or Apple Books or wherever. It's really, really helpful when you review the book, and it doesn't have to be extensive, you know, just a couple words if you liked it. and it helps promote it to new readers looking for books.
So thank you so much if you took a second to do that. I really, really appreciate it. And it really, honestly, very much helps.
All right.
All right.
We're going to roll into what right now? What books are you reading this week, Natasha?
I finished Onyx Storm and I loved it.
I'm so happy.
I know. I'm just like, I literally finished it that evening, I think, after we recorded last week. Loved it so much. I need the next one stat.
Yes. I was talking about what I think it's going to be called in my book talk.
Oh, I need to watch your book talk.
And I think I ended up landing on Metal Maelstrom. Maelstrom.
Fourth Wing, Iron Flame, Onyx Storm.
Storm. Iron and Onyx, Diamond Maelstrom, Diamond Tornado.
Wow. Definitely has a ring to it.
Alloy. What about, oh, Blade? Something with Blade. Bionic Blade.
What about, like, Dagger? Because she loves her daggers.
Yeah, well, that's where I was going with Blade.
Albino Dagger. Silver dagger. Sorry, they're not albino. You know, I think they're silver.
It could have something to do with a dagger, because there's a significance to, like, the daggers that they use to kill. But do they call them daggers? Like, alloy?
Erin says Golden Blade.
Golden Blade is reminding me of Golden Shower, and I don't like it.
Sorry, I brought it up.
Shot says Gold Rush. I think that's too on the nose for a Taylor Swift reference now. Gold Rush is now Taylor Swift's.
Gold Rush is the Californian Gold Rush in 1850s.
I know. I'm just saying Taylor has taken Gold Rush.
Yeah, it's true.
And she loves Taylor Swift. You're almost done with Quicksilver?
No. Oh, I finished it last night.
Oh, how was it?
Okay. And now I started another book. I am on a roll.
Wow.
Okay, so I started Quicksilver by Kelly Hart because this a lot of people were talking about it because Netflix picked it up. And I think Fantasy Fangirls were talking about it. I think they read it. And then all the girls at my school who were also reading Onyx Storm then switched over to Quicksilver, like, immediately last week. And I liked it. Okay. I was definitely, like, addicted to it, but there's so many elements of so many other books in it, and it's just, it gets repetitive. Like, romanticism is just getting repetitive for me, and I feel like this was one of them, aside from, like, it kind of reminded me of, like, a mashup of From Blood and Ash meets A Court of Thorns and Roses meets another, like, Throne of Glass type of situation, or meets, like, Dune.
Yeah, when I think of Quicksilver, I think of the surfing brand or the skating brand that my cousins used to wear.
You know, my uncle was, like, the first model of Quicksilver.
Oh, yeah, you told me that.
He knows the owners.
That's wild. Yeah, my cousins used to wear it during the summer.
Oh, we all still wear it here. It's a California brand.
Yeah, it's like Billabong to me. Yep. They were the same store.
Paxton. But, I like some of the elements of it. So we follow a girl.
She's a girl.
We follow a girl. She's 24 and
a woman.
Like, the world that she's in is, like, very reminiscent of, like, Dune or even Mad Max. I was watching Mad Max, and, like, their currency is water, and
So, like, water world.
Yes, but they don't have any water, so they need water. And so they only get a few, like, rations of water.
The opposite of water world.
Yeah. I mean, it's really just better if you just go into it without really knowing anything. But something happens.
Yeah,
she makes some magic-y thing happen, and another world opens up. So,
all right. I just purchased Deep End by Allie Hazelwood.
Oh, that's when I started.
I got to the end of my sample and I was like, okay, I want to keep reading. As I've discussed, I am trying to, maybe I haven't discussed here, but I'm trying to, like, read more romantic-y books from different authors. And I haven't read Allie Hazelwood. And I like that this explores, like, a BDSM kink, because I've never read anything like that. I'm trying to, like, open my romance book horizons. And I also really like that the lead character, so she is an athlete in college. She is a diver. And she has had a really bad injury, and she's coming back from that. And I feel like I relate to her a lot in that injury, like, coming back to a sport that you love sense. And I am excited to explore a character like that.
Yeah.
All right. Shows,
Severance this week was fucking wild. Did you watch?
Yes, I did watch.
Mm-hmm. Fucking wild. It opens up and I was like, what the fuck is going on? And I watched some Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, how far did you get into it?
Well, I picked up kind of where I left off, which was episode 12 of season one. And I think I watched like three more episodes. And then I switched back to Yellow Jackets because season three is coming. And I actually, right before this, finished up my rewatch of season two of Yellow Jackets. And it was so intense and so epic. And I forgot that how much I love Elijah Wood in this show. And that he's in it at all this season.
Oh, I forgot he was in it.
Yeah, he plays Misty's love interest. I love them together. They're so fucked up and weird, and I love it. Watching it a second time, because the first time you're kind of, there's a lot going on, so you're trying to like figure out stuff just like in Lost, what's happening. And I kind of missed what they were talking about, what they were referencing as like the it in the wilderness. But watching it again, I feel like I have a much better understanding. And there's actually flashes of what it looks like. And I missed those flashes watching the first time. Yeah, so it is worth a second watch because it is one of those shows where like there's little flashes and clues everywhere that you can't necessarily see the first time through. Movie-wise, I watched The Wild Robot this week. And it was just really moving. And I got really attached to all the characters, and I was very emotionally invested. By the end, I was in tears. It was giving, like, WALL-E a little bit, but with more talking. And you know how you get so invested, but, like, you're just kind of following a robot?
Oh, yeah.
But for a long time, you're following the robot for, like, the first half an hour. But then the robot becomes part of the wilderness, and you get to know all the animals. And what it is this robot ends up raising a baby duck, and because the baby duck hatches in its hand, and then the duck imprints on the robot as its mom, and the robot had accidentally killed the family of duckies before, like, because it was being like bullied around the forest because everyone didn't trust it, and they were like, why is there a robot here? It's really sad in the beginning.
Is it a sad ending?
No, it's not a sad ending. It's just an emotional ride. But it's not a sad ending, which I was expecting a sad ending. Yeah, so the robot raises this little duckling, and then the robot is programmed to complete its task. And there's this family of possums, and the mom has like seven kids, and the mother possum is like, this is your task now. It's mom. And it's like, oh, I will complete this task. And little by little, it becomes less robot-y and more like one of the animals with feelings and emotions.
Oh, That sounds emotionally exhausting.
It was really good, though. At the end, me and Cynthia were both crying. I told Natasha this, but then, and her husband was sitting watching, and he looked over at both of us, and he's like, are you guys okay?
The duck has to learn to fly to migrate south for the winter. And so the robot has to try to teach him to fly, but it doesn't know anything about flying. So cute. And the little duck is played by Kit Connor from Heartstoppers.
Oh,
I know. You want something very different, Mad Max Furiosa.
I watched Mad Max Furiosa, and I watched Mad Max Fury Road.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of Mad Max.
That movie gave me, like, anxiety. I just remember watching Mad Max in the theater. It never stops running.
Did we watch Mad Max Fury Road together?
I think I saw it with Tim, and the whole time I was like, oh, it's so loud.
Whose idea do you think was to watch this?
Alex.
Yeah, not mine, but I liked it. It was a backstory, and we followed Charlize's character, Furiosa, and how she became the Praetorian Furiosa.
Praetorian? Is that a queen? Praetorian.
No, it's just the person who drives the rig.
Oh,
it's funny because, like, in Red Rising, that's what, like, the people are called, like, the silvers and the reds. I mean, the silvers and gold are, like, Praetorians. Anya Taylor-Joy is playing Charlize as, like, a young girl, and we kind of watch how she survives this place and becomes the, like, best Praetorian who drives the big rig from to Citadel to Gastown to Bullet Farm or whatever.
Wow.
I don't think it's as good as Fury Road. I think, like, they could have done a bit more fun, creative, crazy things. I mean, we watched Fury Road again, and it's like, do you remember? I totally forgot about this, but there's like a guy who's on one of those like cars who's freaking like playing.
Are you kidding? Guitar. That's the only thing I remember. I fucking hated him. It never stopped. It was so loud. It gave me so much anxiety.
Dumb. But okay, then maybe you might like Fury. And also, okay, a little bit, Furiosa kind of had like a little romance in it, and I kind of liked it. So.
Everyone was so scary in Mad Max. They're like, rah! Like screaming and like murdering and being weird. And I hated it.
Well, like, yeah, Nicholas Holt's in it. Like,
and he's plays... scary.
Well, he calms down. Like he gets on their side. Down. You know, who also is like, cause what Fury Road is when Charlize is trying to get all of like, the brides or whatever, the breeders out of the Citadel away from like the scary like mask dude. You know who all those girls are? It's Riley Keough, Zoe Kravitz. Also, the girl who was in Yellow Jackets.
Lottie.
Yes. She's one of the wives. She was like 18 when she filmed that.
Wow. Well, that is going to wrap up our what right now. We're going to roll on into our main discussion. But before we do, I want to take a second and thank all you people out there listening. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for being part of our podcast family. Ways you can help us out, because we're really, you know, this is not sponsored or anything. Ways you can help us out for free are following the podcast for free in your favorite podcast listening app. That way the show gets delivered to you every week. You don't miss an episode. If you like watching the visual version, hello, we have a visual version of every episode at youtube.com/@thoseforkingfangirls, and you could subscribe there for free so you never miss our visual episodes. We really appreciate you subscribing. And if you really like the show, you can take 5 seconds to leave us a review. If you could do that, that's really helpful to us, and we really appreciate it. On Spotify, it's just like a really easy, like you just do 5 stars if you like it, and it takes like 0.5 seconds. And on Apple Podcasts, you can just rate with stars, or you can do a quick review with words. Doesn't have to be anything fancy. We really, really appreciate that. And we have a Patreon. And if you subscribe to the Patreon, you're actually really helping support the show every week. And we really, really appreciate that, because, again, like I said, we don't really have sponsors. This is a viewer-supported show. And on the Patreon, we have lots of fun perks, the most regular being Fangirl Tea Time. At the end of every single episode we've ever done, there is at least half an hour of extra content where we're telling, like, funny stories about our lives. We're being, like, we're going a little deeper into stuff that's maybe a little too personal for the live show. And we... You also, if you are subscribed to the $5 level up or more, which is you get tea time at the $5 level and up, you get no ads in your podcast. And you also get to be part of the conversation. So when we reference people in the chat, those are our patrons and we love them. It's so much fun to have their two cents as we talk about different topics. And Nicole just said the best Patreon to be a part of. Thank you, Nicole.
You also are crucial in letting us know any actors' names that we forget.
Literally. Like, what will we do?
Really, I'm just going to wait here for someone to tell me who the correct name is.
Because if we type it into Google, we risk this freezing on us. But we appreciate you guys so much. And if you'd like to be a part of that community, the link is in our show notes. It's at patreon.com/thoseforkingfangirls. And you can do a free trial and test it out first to see if you like it at the $5 level for a week. And then you can commit to either month to month, or you can commit annually and you get a 16% discount, which is you get like a month and a half for free, which is really cool. Anyway, cut it. We really appreciate you. And we thank you for letting us do this really cool thing we love to do every single week. So we're about to roll into our Fangirl Razzies. If you're a patron, we're going right in. If you're not, we will be right back.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
After these messages. And we're back. We're back. And we're rolling in to our worst movies of 2024, aka the Fangirl Razzies. We're kicking it off with the most disturbing movie of 2024. And we have the same answer for this. Natasha, you want to hit us with what it is?
It's The Substance.
It is The Substance.
Christy never technically finished it, but
I didn't, but I tried.
Most disturbing movie for sure. It's just the body horror, the bubble monster at the end.
Honestly,
it's just gross.
The sheer amount that we there's no fade to black or fade to a new scene when people are exploding out of people's backs and then the person has like their own dead body on the floor and they have to sew it back up. Like that shit is freaky as fuck. And so disturbing. Like the stuff with the monsters, like it gets so surrealist that I don't think it's as disturbing because it's not realistic as much, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like you can almost laugh at it because it's so surreal. But like the stuff in the beginning was so real.
The grossest stuff is like when she has to take her like spinal fluid. This might send Christine.
It's okay. I'm okay.
Take her spinal fluid and like the young one does. And then she just keeps doing it and it just gets worse and worse. And it's like super infected and disgusting. And you're like, oh no. You're like, what's going to happen to Demi Moore? And lo and behold, she like wakes up to be a hag.
It's a lot. And I wish I could have watched the whole thing because I did appreciate the concept and the directing and the set design and stuff, but it was too much. And I got a Natasha Cliff Notes after, and I Googled the scenes where she turned into the monster and the hag.
Monster and the hag.
Natasha, do you want to present our next superlative?
Yeah, our next one is, what was your most enjoyable bad movie of 2024?
All right, so my most enjoyable bad was almost like, I wouldn't call this bad, but it was like, you know, cheesy-ish, but really fun. And that was A Family Affair with Zac Efron, Joey King, and Nicole Kidman. I just had so much fun watching this movie. I feel like the comedic timing was on point. Like, it was a little silly, but I loved watching it. I just think Joey and Zach are so good at physical comedy and timing. Mm-hmm. I loved them together.
I didn't love it at first. I remember being like, I don't really like this, but Joey is just so good at being funny.
She is.
I really like watching her. And I mean, Nicole Kidman, we love you, girl.
Yeah, she was good in the movie.
Yeah.
She's there. She looked good.
Yeah. Mine for this is Madame Web.
I can't believe this was last year. Are you sure this was 2024? It feels so long ago. Oh my God.
Literally, I was making my dress on Super Bowl last weekend.
Holy shit.
So I would have been at the premiere today.
Doesn't it feel like 100 years ago Madame Web came out?
Oh, it does. You know, this movie was, it was the laughing stock of Hollywood,
but like, it was almost like self-aware of itself by the end.
Yeah. Honestly, like probably because I went to the premiere, right? Every time you go to the premiere, never trust my opinion just because it was like glitz and glamour. But I actually enjoyed it. It got so dumb that I was like, this is fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I love Dakota Johnson. I love anything that she does. And Sydney Sweeney. And it was fun.
I'm glad you had a fun time. I never ended up watching it, but I did see many, many clips online. because a lot of people love to pick at different clips, especially the one that, like, was it a baby shower or something? Mm-hmm. I saw that clip everywhere. Next award goes to the most meh movie of 2024. And when we say meh, we mean meh. It was just there. And yeah. We expected more. Mm-hmm. Natasha, what was your most meh movie of 2024?
My most meh movie was Gladiator 2.
We've heard so much about it on this podcast from you.
I know. I wasn't going to go watch it, but of course I have a brother who likes these types of films and he wants me to go experience them with him. The only thing I really liked about Gladiator 2 was the beautiful men, including Pedro and Paul Mescal. And some of the fight scenes are really good. But besides that, like, Pedro's character, it didn't make sense to me. There was a lot of things that just were just very convenient. And it felt like they were really just pushing for that nostalgia, the first one, without having Russell Crowe there. So that's my opinion.
Did you know that Pedro Pascal's in The Wild Robot?
I didn't. I saw someone talk about it, though, in our chat.
Yeah, he's the fox in it. And I didn't clock any sound, any voices, because I was just like so in it with the characters. Mm. My most meh movie of 2024 was Inside Out 2. I was rather upset that this movie did not come through for me.
I haven't even watched it, but I'm so confused. Like, why?
Because it wasn't as good. It was, it's hard to explain. The plot doesn't have the same emotional arc to it. Like, I can't even remember it as much because it wasn't as strong of a plot. She's going to this hockey camp with her best friends from school, but they get put in a different group than her. So she's like alone and feeling jealous. And she ends up trying to be like a cool girl because she's really anxious, and because of the anxiety, she ends up being kind of cutting to her other friends, and anxiety just kind of takes over the whole movie. And I don't know if this is my own issues. but no, it was just meh. I feel like it wasn't as well put together. I remember the end, I just really didn't like the way that they solved the problem, you know, inside her head. I just thought it wasn't as clever as the first one and stuff. I'm sad. I ended it, me and Cynthia looked at each other and we're like, that wasn't as good. And I was like, I know.
I really like what Katie says here. She says it felt like an adult who needed to go to therapy but decided to make this movie instead and forgot to make it fun and interesting.
Yeah, it wasn't as much fun. It didn't have as much comedy in it. It wasn't as clever. The first Inside Out is so fucking clever. Everywhere you look, there's like a double entendre of every single meaning. And the way the memory works is so fascinating in a way where, like, you can see it being like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And everything with the imaginary friend and all of that is so touching. It's so different. There's a lot more to the world in the first one. And in the second one, you kind of stay in the same area. At least that's what it felt like. And I hated anxiety. I hated him, how he was so evil. And he wasn't trying to be, but he always, like, got her in so much trouble. Anyway.
It sounds like real life.
I mean, but, like, anxiety can do everything. Yeah, it can override everything and make you do stupid shit. But in this, it was, like, always making her do mean shit. And I hate
so it
that.
Just wasn't enjoyable because of the whole anxiety factor.
No, it wasn't just that, though. That's, like, something I'm just, like, remembering because it was anxiety. But the way the story was told was not as enjoyable.
Okay.
Yeah, Riley wants to impress the older girls at camp because her best friends aren't going to the same school with her next year. Oh, yeah. Pauline says it was too realistic for me and not enough jokes for it to be lighthearted and fun for me. Yeah, it wasn't as fun. It just wasn't as an enjoyable of a ride. It didn't have the same heart.
Okay. Well, you know, that makes sense. And I'm wondering, I'm like, oh, I forgot it even came out. You know, it was like one of the most, though, top grossing movies, the animated movies this year. No, Moana was.
Well, I was, you know, following a really excellent film, so.
Yeah. All right, our next superlative is, what was your most disappointing movie of 2024?
My most disappointing movie of 2024, I love Mean Girls, but it turns out I'm a Mean Girls purist. I only love the film.
I was so excited for Mean Girls the musical, and I couldn't finish it. It was hurting me. I got like a little more than halfway through and I was like, I can't do it. It's like, it's burning.
You didn't even enjoy when we went to go see them on Broadway.
I didn't. I was hoping though that like the movie version, cause in the trailer they cut it like it wasn't a musical almost, you know, mm-hmm. It was cut like a new version of the regular Mean Girls with kind of like twists on the usual jokes. Mm-hmm. And I was excited to see that, but I couldn't get to even those bits because there was so much singing, and the singing just really took me out of the tone of the film, which is really dry and almost satirical, you know, of Mean Girls. And Mean Girls can't hold that when we're breaking into song because not every song is like that. Some of the songs are like the characters just don't have that tone, and I don't like any of the songs. I just think Mean Girls is not meant for music.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't really love it either. The only parts I did like was with
Renee
Rapp. Yep.
But even her parts, it was just like, it's not, I don't know,
it doesn't hit as well.
It doesn't hit. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your most disappointing movie of 2024?
Okay.
I can't believe this.
I'm only putting this in here because of what it means to us and how this has gone out in the press. And everything. So I did put It Ends With Us, but not because the movie was bad.
Yeah.
Or that I was disappointed by the movie. I actually really enjoyed the movie. Mm-hmm. And Christina and I got to do a lot of great things around it. But it's
the
just
experience.
The experience of it and what it's turned into because of the legal battles now between Justin and Blake have really just, I mean, and like, I feel so bad for Colleen, and she had no idea. And
it sucks.
It's disappointing because honestly, there was so many things they could have done differently with how it was marketed and how this could have really helped women who were victims of domestic abuse and all that. And it's turned into a shit show. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a clusterfuck.
So that's the reason why this is in the most disappointing movies.
It never ends, and I every time more stuff comes up, it's upsetting again, and it's upsetting on the terms that we think about like what Colleen must be going through with this. Like, it turns something so beautiful and exciting for her into something so upsetting, and that will like follow her around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. She's got two other projects in the works, and
hopefully when the next project comes out, it'll kind of push this to the past.
I don't know, because their court date is set for 2026.
Verity is a very exciting book, and if it's good, it has the power to come to the forefront.
And I think sadly she will probably stay out of the limelight for it. Anyways, so that's why it's in my most disappointing movie. I don't think I can rewatch this movie now. That's the thing.
I haven't been able to rewatch it.
I can't rewatch it.
All right, Natasha. Mm-hmm. Tell us, what is your most overrated movie of 2024?
My most overrated movie is Nosferatu, baby.
Nosferatu. Does anyone say that in the movie?
No.
They don't.
Okay. She just says, come to me. Come to me. I mean, if you listen to the episode, a couple episodes ago where I go like through the whole film?
3 or 4 episodes ago.
You'll know why. I think everyone's like, oh, it's just so beautiful and artsy. And I'm like, this is the same rehash shit that I've already seen. I wanted something new. I love the memes coming out of it, though. Like the bounce on it.
Oh, God. All right, for my most overrated movie, I have Dune 2. And I know a lot of people love Dune 2. I just was falling asleep watching Dune 2. And that's why that is my most overrated movie of 2024. Like, I couldn't keep my eyes open. So it's the most overrated that I can choose. Because I finished a lot of bad movies and I did not finish Dune 2.
even though it was supposedly good.
I liked it.
I didn't get to any parts with Zendaya. Like, it was always like random political people talking.
I mean, I think I really liked Dune 2, but the end of it, I just wasn't prepared for knowing that possibly Paul Atreides was not the hero in this story.
I just wanted to see a romance with Zendaya and him, honestly.
There's romantic bits.
Nicole says, I watched the entire movie and I don't remember any of it. Metal says the beginning of Dune 2 was basically a rom-com, new boy trying to impress the popular girl. I feel like I remember him like walking into the desert having to prove himself or something, and that's all I remember of Timmy.
And maybe you didn't. Did you watch the second one?
No, I watched 45 minutes of it. I remember when I paused it because I was falling asleep.
Oh boy.
Those are our superlatives. Now we're rolling on in to our top five worst movies of 2024, starting at number five. And Natasha, you're up first.
My number five is sadly the animated Lord of the Rings movie, War of the Rohirrim.
Oh.
We watched it during like the Christmas break season with all of our Lord of the Rings people. And I was bored. Okay. The only part I really liked was at the very beginning when they rolled the title card and then they played the Rohirrim.
My favorite part was the title card.
They played the Rohirrim song. For all of my Lord of the Rings girlies and guys and thems and theys, this was basically like Two Towers when they have to go to Helm's Deep, but just in another like time period, because they're trying to like escape, like the Rohirrims are like trying to escape from these people who are attacking the city, and so they have to go to Helm's Deep, and they're just trying to like be safe from them the whole time. The whole time we're in Helm's Deep. I just wanted something new and fresh. And yes, we got to follow like a female lead, and that was nice, but
it wasn't new and fresh enough.
No. It was like the Two Towers, but animated.
My number five nominee for worst movie of the year.
Okay, I changed the way that I watch movies this year in that like I won't finish it if it's so bad and I'm not enjoying it. I'll turn it off because life is too short for a bad movie. There was only a couple that I really pushed through on. And this first one is Uglies. It came out on Netflix this year. And I was excited about Uglies. And Joey King plays the lead. I don't think I knew anyone else in it. And the beginning, like first 10 minutes, I was like, oh, this is just like the book feeling. And then it just got dumb-ish. Like, I just remember people just jumping up into the air and, like, flying from area. And I was like, what the fuck? I guess they were, like, boots that flew. And maybe that's in the book. But it looked silly in the movie. And I don't know, the party scene. I don't think I made it that far. I think it made, like, 25 to 30 minutes in. And I was like, I really can't watch this.
I never watched it. Yeah, I kept seeing it. I was like, I don't think I want to watch this.
Yeah, it was a lot of CGI. And I think the concept was almost when you translate it into young adult-y film, I think it was coming off pretty cheesy. Almost like, you know, Twilight, some of the word for word lines, like we kind of make fun of them because they kind of sounded silly coming out of those actors' mouths. I feel like the concept coming out of people's mouths sounded a little silly. Like, I want to be pretty. It just didn't translate very well. Like, you're an ugly. I kind of now, talking about it, wish I finished it because I just want to be able to talk about it more firmly. I feel like I'm almost not qualified, but I did read the books and I do like Joey King. I just had to turn it off. So that is why it was my number five.
I love how you have two movies on your list already that you didn't technically finish.
I know. There's a third one too. But that one I got really far. I got like an hour and a half.
Wow.
Or an hour 15. Yeah.
All right, number four is Red One with Chris Evans.
I can't even, this is like the snowman movie with violence.
Red one.
This is like the beefed up Santa Claus movie with like polar bears. Eating. Yes, there are like beefed up snowmen. It's like a yeah. Fast and Furious, but like Christmas Santa movie. And it's kind of,
there's like guns.
Yeah.
Is The Rock in
it? The Rock's in it.
Yeah.
And he's an elf. And he's like, he's like the number one, like.
Ashley says it's a dad movie.
It is a dad movie.
He's the number one elf.
He's the number one, like, Secret Service elf. He, like, has to protect Santa at all costs.
Oh, shit. Wow, what a concept.
And Chris Evans plays, like, this hacker. And
a hacker.
And he,
it's giving Ghostbusters. Yeah, with the
he
women.
Figures out the location of Santa and like doesn't really care, and then sells it off to like.
Does he wear glasses?
No, okay. He wears a toupee.
Oh God! Why he has hair?
That man is going bald. Every single fucking
Chris
movie,
Hemsworth?
Chris Evans that you have seen him in since Captain America.
Picturing Hemsworth no. This whole time.
Evans is wearing a toupee,
it's just
guys.
Receding. Is his hair just receding?
Yes, it's receding. It just,
okay, he's not going bald. You're being harsh.
Yeah, but he's wearing a toupee, so just want you all to know that.
Oh my God. Katie says people shit on chick flicks all the time, but this was a certified dick flick. Yeah, the certified dick flick for show, for show.
I don't really know what else to say about this movie. I mean, like, it was, it kept my interest, kind of. I was on my phone half the time.
So it didn't keep your interest.
Oh, but I finished it at least.
Touché. My number four, I can't believe this came out last year, but it was at the beginning of last year. Yeah. It was the movie with Lindsay Lohan called The Irish Wish, where someone's getting married to her ex or some guy she met, and she makes a wish and she wakes up and she's the one marrying him. It was bad. I watched the whole thing. I watched it at Cynthia's house. I got through it because I was making fun of it as we went. But it was very, very silly and very cheesily edited and shot.
Like, the editing and the pacing and the way things are shot really affects the cheese factor. Like, if it's straight on and, like, poorly edited with, like, no music or bad music, like, it makes it so much worse. And I feel like all that and more was making The Irish Wish very, very bad for me.
Oh boy.
Yeah
you watched this, right?
I watched it.
I mean, she loves, if you give her a concept where she turns into somebody else, she will want to make it.
That is so true. I know, we watched Just My Luck. Oh wait, we watched it together, all of us.
Yeah, we watched it together. Same sort of thing, like a magic thing happens and you really lean into the bit.
what was her only good? So the one on Netflix,
the one that didn't have a magic bit, was her best one. It's called like Our Little Secret.
Yeah,
the Christmas movie that came out.
But I liked Irish Wish better than the other movie that she did.
That one was very bad too. The one where she was like
forgot
a hotel heiress.
Yeah, she forgot who she was or something.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
It wasn't as bad as that.
Yeah, that was the worst one.
But it was still bad.
Anyways, all right, number three. Christine and I have the same movie.
Number three worst movie of 2024 goes to
Argylle,
starring Henry Cavill and
Bryce Dallas Howard,
and a cat in a bag that made people want to think that Taylor Swift was behind this film.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's about an author who writes thriller mystery novels about the government, and what she's writing is apparently coming true, so they're trying to kidnap her.
There's some twists and shit, and
Henry Cavill plays her character.
Yeah,
and in real life he's played by Sam Rockwell.
And Dua Lipa plays her, I think.
Yeah, and honestly, it was a fun concept, but it's executed in such a poor fashion.
Oh my God, like the stunts. Like, it was so silly.
Well, the silliest part that was making the pacing so bad was that, like, we'd see it happen in her head as Henry Cavill, and then we'd see the whole thing again with Sam Rockwell every fucking time. And they kept showing us from the point of view of the cat in the stupid bubble bag. And I'm like, stop. I don't fucking care about the cat in the bubble bag. It's not funny. It's not the, like, cute thing you think it is.
Oh, Yeah. And then like having Sam Rockwell, I couldn't get behind it being like,
I liked Sam Rockwell. I thought that he was going to be a saving grace for me, but then he just kept turning into Henry Cavill and I kept seeing the same thing twice. I was like, who let this happen?
Henry Cavill had this terrible like flat top haircut. It was so bad.
And it was so hard to follow the plot because it was concentrating so much on the gimmick that she was seeing Henry Cavill and it wasn't. Like, because she'd seen this happen in her book in her head. So that was like what they were trying to show, but it was poor. This is the same guy that directed The Kingsman, which like the directing style is so fun. Mm-hmm. And those action sequences are so good. Mm-hmm. And it was like trying to add that in for this concept where you just keep seeing the same thing over and over again. It was like, infuriating. You're slowing it down so hard. Yeah.
I did like the first part. And then like once it started getting convoluted and weird, I was like, nope, don't like this. Mm-hmm. Pauline says, hot take, I like this movie. Wow.
LOL. It was just, I didn't get all the way to the end. I made it an hour in.
I think I had to take a break. I was watching it and then I like took a break and then I came back and finished the rest of it.
Yeah, when I started losing the string of like what actually was going on because it was so distracting the way that we were editing, I was like, yeah, I'm out here because it's making me sad. It makes me sad on movies I'm really excited for are not good. All right,
number two, Christine.
All right, coming in at number two, the number two worst movie, top two worst movies of the year for us. Coming in at number two, we have Hot Frosty. The Christmas film with the guy from Schitt's Creek that I love. It was very bad. It was very, very bad. It is about a snowman that gets a scarf. So this woman who runs a diner, she lost her husband and she's sad and her house has lots of leaks and a creaky stair and all this shit. She's sad and she walks by a townie and she's like, me and my husband met on this day and here's a scarf from when we met and it can help you meet someone too. And they're having like a snowman contest in the square and there's a snowman that's carved into a hot man. And she's like, you look like you need a scarf because all the other snowmen have scarves. So she puts the magic scarf. She doesn't know it's magic, but the one from the lady who met her husband, presumably he was a snowman too. She put it on the snowman and the snowman melted into the hot man. And this hot man was a legit snowman in like a human body. And he would melt if it got too hot and he'd need lots of water. And he was really dumb, but he would learn. She left him at home all day and he would learn everything from the TV. He'd be like, oh, I'm going to make you a meal. I'm going to fix your house because I learned how to do roofing on this channel all day. And they fall in love.
Ugh.
And he melts. And to save his life, she has to like bring him outside because he like melted to death. And then she kisses him and he comes to life for real forever. It's so bad.
Although I did enjoy watching it, making fun of it.
Katie says, what is it about Christmas that lets people get away with making such bad movies?
I don't know, but it is. Like, people are, like, okay with movies being terrible at Christmas, I guess because they want it to be so low stakes that it doesn't matter so that they just guarantee they could have it on in the background and not, like, get too emotionally invested.
The thing is, it's like, we make fun of these movies, but I've also read some of these concepts, okay? Like, some of these are, like, can be actual, like, good little books.
Well, that's the thing. You can take any concept and make it really good if you write the story good.
That's true.
But this is not written well.
No. Nor is it casted correctly, in my opinion.
No. And I feel like they kind of do like one draft and they're like, send it to the presses. Get it cast. Let's shoot this.
It's just like a wheelhouse. Metal says this needed the superlative of movies you thought were a fever dream.
It wasn't even good enough to be a fever dream, though, because it was shot poorly.
Like, fever dream has to have some creativity.
Katie, I don't know what you're all talking about. That's exactly how I met my husband. You know I would have done the same thing.
He wears
thing.
The scarf every day.
If I would have saw a hot snowman ice sculpture, I would have probably kissed it, too.
Put your scarf on it.
No, that's stupid. I would have done something better than that.
Well, how are you going to bring it to life without the scar?
True love's first kiss.
Oh my God. What was your number two worst movie, Natasha?
My number two worst movie, I talked about on the pod already. Bike Riders with...
Oh, with that Elvis guy.
Yeah. What's his name?
What's his name? And Lily James.
Lily James is not in it.
Oh, who's in it with him?
It's from the Russian with Christina
Anya Taylor-Joy?
Yang. With Christina Yang.
Who's Christina Yang?
From Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, I don't know Grey's Anatomy.
That show you love. And
it's
she
not
talks
called Grey's
like
Anatomy.
This, and
oh, you mean, what's her name? Villanelle.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not Grey's Anatomy. Killing Eve.
Yes, but Christina Oh, is that her name?
Oh, no, it's Sandra Oh.
Sandra Oh plays
you
Christina
all the wrong
Yang
names.
In you Grey's
got me
Anatomy.
So confused.
Austin Butler.
There we go. Elvis.
Shots. Does he have an Elvis voice in this movie too? Not so
does
much.
Does he?
He became
Elvis.
Kind of always sounds like Elvis. I thought this movie was gonna be like a cute little 1950s like romance type of situation. No. It was frustrating. It was boring. It was about how gangs first started and how bike gangs first started, and it didn't have a good ending, and it was frustrating. I just did not like this movie. Some people probably did. I did not.
All right.
And it just dragged. Oh my gosh.
I'm so sorry that you sat through it. What a long time.
I think I fell asleep through the middle of it, and I came back, and Alex is like, yeah, this happened and this happened. You didn't miss much.
All right. We've reached our top worst movie of 2024. Do you want to kick us off with your number one Razzie? It's an honor to be the number one Razzie. Who are you giving it to this year, Natasha?
This one goes out to the TikTok star movie. High school
this
rom-com.
This one goes out to all the TikTokers out there.
All the TikTokers who tricked me and said this movie was going to be so good. No, you guys are just blind fangirls. It's me and the QB. And
what does QB stand for?
Quarterback.
Oh, wow.
With Noah Beck.
At all.
With Noah Beck, Mr. TikTok fame himself. And this other actress. Who they it was terrible. It was, oh my God, just so.
How much was the movie?
I think we paid like $5 for it.
Okay.
Tay and I watched it and I was like, oh yeah, this is supposed to be really good. And then we're like, what is this? It was so, okay, like the concept was cute. Like always, you know, the quarterback and the head of the dance team or cheerleaders, I guess, like kind of get together. And it was just poorly written. The characters were frustrating as fuck. And he literally had one face. And it was just like this like cocky smile that he would
oh,
do.
Oh yeah, he told me about the face.
And she wasn't even likable. She was just mean and frustrating the whole time.
Gabby says, never heard of this in my life. And that must be for the best.
I never heard of it either.
I was tricked on TikTok. Everyone was like, this looks so good.
So good.
And they're making a second one. I forgot about
no!
that. Yes. Taya sent no! it to me and she's like, oh no.
Oh no.
Shot just calling me out. She goes, it was all over TikTok, but it looks so bad I didn't know anyone actually watched it. Well, I did. I was sucked in.
Natasha and Taya watched it.
Yes. Don't watch it. All right, Christine, what was your number one?
All right, coming in at my number one worst movie of the year is the M. Night Shyamalan movie, Trap. What the fuck was this?
The best part of this movie was the trailer. Now, let me lay it out for you. It has a great concept. So they're going to this like Taylor Swift-esque concert. He's bringing his daughter, this dad. And in the trailer, you see them like at the concert and he's looking around. There's like so many security people. And he's like, what's going on? Like, what's happening here? One of the security guys is like, hey, they said that this famous like Fred the Ripper guy is coming to this concert tonight. So basically, like, it's a huge trap. We're going to find him in here. And he's like, oh, fuck. And you have his little 12-year-old daughter. And then you get flashes to him having trapped some guy in his basement because he's the serial killer. And he brought his daughter to the concert. And the whole movie is about him trying to get out of there without being caught. And like the trailer makes it look so exciting. And it is the most boring, stupid thing I've ever seen in my life. We watch half the thing is watching the fucking concert. I'm like, why are we watching this fake pop star sing full songs and do full performances? And then I find out later that it's M. Night Shyamalan's daughter and that he made this movie just to launch her pop star career. And like it the dialogue is terrible. Everything about it is bad and boring and slow and not suspenseful at all. And basically, so he can't get out any of the exits, and they pull up one person on stage to be like the one less lonely girl for a Justin Bieber concert, and he gets his daughter up there by lying and saying that she's like a Make-A-Wish child, and she gets to do the dance, and there's like he exits with her backstage, and once they get past it, like the concert, he gets her to meet the pop star, and then he threatens the pop star while like they're meeting her like in her ear, and he's like, you're gonna drive us home in your limo because that's how we're gonna get out of here, because that's the only way he's gonna escape the building. And then the pop star ends up at the house with them coming in for tea.
Oh, what the fuck.
Yes, it's ridiculous. And his family like doesn't know anything about how he's a serial killer. They're like, oh my god, it's a pop star in our house. And she locks herself in the bathroom and goes live on her socials and is like, I'm in the house of the serial killer. I need you guys to figure out where we are and send the police. It's so bad. It's so bad. And it was fun enough for me. It was so bad that it was almost fun enough for me to keep watching, because I just was like, I gotta see what the fuck they're gonna do with the end of this, because this is so stupid. And it was stupid through and through all the way to the end, and he ends up escaping, and I'm like, this is stupid.
Like, oh my gosh.
Yep. Oh my god, Marielle, wait, but it sounds so good the way you're describing it. It is a good concept, and it's executed so bad.
Like, I'm sure this could have been a lot more exciting. And
yes,
but I just, Frank said 20 years later and people are still being tricked into watching an M. Night Shyamalan movie. I just have to give M. Night his flowers, because he has made some incredible films. One of my favorite films, which is Signs, but like, every one out of five films of his are good. And it's like, you don't know which one is going to be the good one, because he's got all these great concepts, but they don't always pan out.
I'm sorry to his daughter, but she was not, her eyes were like dead. Like, I just, there were so many close-ups of her and she just was like, I feel like if maybe they had casted her differently, even, it would have been a little better, because I was not.
Katie said, LL, this is the plot of every One Direction fanfic.
They kidnap them. Force him back to the house. Like, the final twist of him not being caught is so annoying. I was just, that's like, this is ridiculous.
The movie is called Trap. He should have been trapped.
I know. One of these traps should have gotten him. Like, well, there was also the twist that the wife knew and was trying to
help
get him caught. I think she's the one who framed him. Yeah, for the trap.
Metal. The biggest twist is Shyamalan has ever pulled is tricking us into watching all of his movies when he's just phoning them in. I like a lot of his
Sixth
movies.
Sixth Sense is the only... Wait, is that Tim, right?
Sixth Sense.
That's the only like really critically acclaimed at this point.
I love Signs. There's also Unbreakable. And then he did a whole trilogy with the Unbreakable thing.
Gabby says, yeah, it's not good, but man, I had fun watching.
James Maxwell.
It was like pulling teeth getting past the concert part. It was just like so much concert. I was like, I'm not here for this concert. Maybe he doesn't want his daughter in the entertainment business, so he botched the film to ruin her career. Frank, how was the concert? Not good. I was bored.
I also like The Village. That's with Bryce Dallas Howard.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was like his early days.
Yeah, his early ones are great. But then the only good one in the last maybe 10, 15 years was I liked The Visit. That was a creepy ass movie. And then possibly Split with James McAvoy when he plays all of those different personalities in one.
Well, those are our worst movies of 2024. We'd love to hear what yours were in the comms. Hit us up with your number one Razzie of the year. And now we're going to roll on in to Marry, Kiss, Cliff. All right, Natasha. Marry, Kiss, Cliff. The Joker, Adam Sandler, or Bach from Wicked.
This is so random. How did you come up with this list?
People that are annoying.
Okay, well, I saw you put this down. I'm like, all right, I'm definitely marrying Adam Sandler. He's the most normal of them all. And he's friends with Taylor Swift.
Well, they're on good terms, yeah.
So definitely marry Adam Sandler. I don't really want to kiss either of them. The Joker's creepy. Which Joker are we talking about?
I was thinking about the scary Joker from the Lady Gaga version, but you could do Heath Ledger. I'll let you choose.
I don't want to kiss the Heath Ledger.
I know, he's scarier.
I mean, I would rather...
I would pick him, though,
I would rather kiss...
The newest one.
Margot Robbie's.
What's no. Oh, I thought you were going to say kiss Margot Robbie. I was like, you can't choose Margot Robbie.
What's his face who plays that Joker?
Oh, no, no, not him. You can't pick him.
Ugh, he's the most normal. All right. Well, because I fucking hate Bach... I'm going to cliff him, and I'm going to kiss Heath Ledger's Joker.
All right.
Ew! Don't do that, you psycho.
That's what he does. Why he's so serious? All right, I'm going to marry Sandler. I'm going to kiss Bach, and I'm actually going to cliff the Joker because he scares the shit out of me, even though I love him.
You can kiss Bach?
I'd kiss Bach. SpongeBob SquarePants?
No. Give me the villain any day.
All right. Well, folks, that is our show today. We are going to get our shit together to go record a Fangirl Tea Time. But our show is edited by Emma Burton, Vigard, Christine Ridger, Natasha Polis, Alex Polis. I think those are the list for now. And our music is by Cole Jenkins and vocals by Heather Traska. Our socials are run by Chloe Laverson. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at Those Forking Fangirls, on TikTok at Those Forking Fangirls. Again, we're on YouTube, youtube.com/Those Forking Fangirls. Hit it up. It's all free. It's all just really fun. And we love having our community there and having your feedback and comments on pictures and all that stuff. And when we ask questions and polls, that's where it's at on Instagram. We need you. You should be there. Join the party. We release new episodes every Friday. Thank you all so much for joining us. And we'll see you next time. I'm Christine.
I'm Natasha.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. We'll be right back.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.